This is the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica Foundation. The time is about 5:20 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is, again, the meeting of the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Foundation. And my name is LaVarne Williams. I am convening the committee and is the past chair of the National Finance Committee. At this time, I would ask our acting secretary, Terry Goodman, to proceed with the roll call.
Okay, in semi-alphabetical order, Dave Adelson.
Here.
Teresa Allen.
Teresa's not on the committee anymore.
He's no longer on the committee.
Okay. Barudi Bediako. Brian Edwards Tekert.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Terry Goodman is here. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Here.
LaVarne Williams.
Present.
Thomas Ruffin.
Here.
That was a here?
Yeah, here.
Okay. Bertold Reimers. Not present. And Bob Sanborn, not present. We have quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. Sent out the agenda for review, so we'd like to know if everyone had an opportunity, and I think we do have a couple of additions to the agenda for this evening. So basically just to run through what we have now is to go down and go through approval of minutes the next meeting. We'll do the CFO report and reviewing results from prior months, and to look at review the legal expense forecasts and results, and also review the status of motions. So at this time, are there revisions, changes, updates to the agenda?
Hi. This is Jane.
Yes, Jane.
I think it might be proper to discuss schedule election of the officers for this year.
Okay, great. And where would you like to put that?
I think it should be the first thing.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so we'll do it after the next meeting, 3B. Okay. Are there other?
Yeah, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
First of all, do you have the date and time that you sent the agenda so that I can paste that in the minutes?
The date and time, yes. It was sent on,
like January 31st or something?
Yes, I have. There's one on the 31st that it was sent. And also, I think it was also pasted on KPFTX, I think, probably the...
Okay, I have the 31st.
Okay, great.
Good. Okay, and an item that I'd like added to new business that we don't have to get to today, we have close to a year to get to it, is a discussion of the issue of the interruption in monthly financial reports during the annual audit.
Okay.
Dave?
Yes.
I was asked by people here in Los Angeles to follow up on the status of the implementation of policies regarding reimbursement, and also, sorry, it's a little distracting. And Lonnie, I think, is going to propose or talk about two new proposals, one having to do with the RFP process and another with a proposal on how to move forward on the internet stuff. And I think, if I'm right, what he's going to be asking is that we schedule another meeting and deal with those proposals in detail.
Barudi?
Hey, welcome, Barudi.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
Great. Okay, so you want to discuss that within Lonnie's report on the reimbursement policy on the internet?
If that's where it can go, sure. We just want to know has that stuff actually been implemented. And also, while we're at it, anything on the credit cards and their use.
Good.
Brian here.
Okay, Brian.
Two issues. The first is a question. Item 4B, review legal expense forecast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that needs to be an executive session, if we're forecasting costs for anything that's still under negotiation or being litigated.
Mm-hmm. At this
I think
time,
that would be a good idea.
Yeah, we can move that to executive.
I would agree, Madam Chair.
Okay. But I think also, I mean, I think that the basic forecast for legal without any extraordinary costs associated, or if there are costs to be associated with any legal actions, I think that that would go into executive session. But I think we do need to just look at legal expense forecasts, because I think that the costs are, we did get a schedule that we can discuss later in executive session, but I think we do need to at least take a look at that. So my position is that as far as discussing any forecast related to, or if there are any cases outstanding, that would definitely go into executive session. But I think I don't know if we need to spend 20 minutes, but I think we do need to look at the legal expense. If we can look at it on the income statement, we can just look at it highlighted there versus taking a whole section for it at this time and do the section on review legal expenses in executive session. Okay, so Liney, could you speak to it at that time?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I suggest an agenda change?
Please.
Well, you know, the foundation-wide signature authorization, I'm really not prepared to speak on it right now and would like to, you know, fold it into the revisions and policies that will go into that financial policies and procedures manual.
Mm-hmm.
We can discuss it separately, but that is where a lot of the items that we're talking about would go into, and I'd like to present all of those changes we talked about coming back with updating that manual, and I would like to fold all of those in there for sort of a one-time review by the committee.
And when would you like to do that?
Well, I'll have something by the end of, in about 30 days, because I've gotten suggestions from the auditor, from people around the network, and I'll be ready with a draft financial policies and procedures manual to include a lot of the items we're talking about. Reduce them to writing and reduce them to policy, and then bring it to the committee for review.
So you're saying you'll have a draft within 30 days, or you'll be ready to discuss it, the draft that you will send, and then you want to discuss it at which meeting?
Yeah, if whatever meeting is 30 days or so from now, certainly before the April meeting. But yeah, around, I guess, by the March 15th date, if we schedule a meeting then.
Okay, well, we can look at the date, because that date was also set in line with where we expected PNB meeting, but now that's set for April, so we can look at those dates too. Okay, so again, within 30 days, and then we can look at the date once we come up with the next scheduled meeting for the NFC. Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I have a couple other things. I think we should start early this year discussing annual goals, like what do we want to get done as a committee by the end of the year. So
mm-hmm.
Could we maybe spend 10 to 15 minutes on that? And then the other, within that, there are two subcategories. One is making sure the budget calendar that we passed last year is actually followed, and the other was the implementation of the auditor recommendations, which maybe needs to wait until that piece that Lonnie just addressed.
Okay, so in terms of the audit recommendations, that would be, we can add that as the main subject when we start talking about policy and procedure in the finance manual. So we can look at any other recommendations within the audit. Is that okay, Lonnie?
Yes.
But can we have a section on our goals for the year, and specifically the implementation of the budget calendar?
Right. Well, on the report, which I finally got done there and sent out, there was a list of goals, some of the things that we had discussed in the past. So we can use that as a starting point. Everyone got a copy of that, goals and projects for the next 9 months. that were part that was part of the Houston package.
What's the question?
Report.
No.
They sent out with the agenda. Sent out a copy of the report from the PNB meeting in Houston, the finance report. And in the finance report, we have a listing of goals and projects for the next 9 months. That was the projects and things that we had discussed. So I listed those. I believe there were 9 of them.
Then that was in what document?
That was in the package that was sent out on the 31st.
You have non-directors on the call.
I sent it to the finance committee.
She said she sent it on the 31st.
First,
okay.
Along with the agenda to the finance committee.
Check out that.
Got it.
Okay, you have it here?
I will.
Okay.
I have a copy.
Okay, so again, so Dave said that we need, these are some of the goals and projects that we have been discussing through the year, and some of, in fact, just lifted some of the language that we had from the minutes. So we can look at these as a starting point.
Got
so
it.
You want to try to go through that today? Does everyone have a copy of that? We can go through those today, or we can go. Or we're talking about another meeting. What would you like to do, Dave?
Let's see how the meeting goes.
Okay, so we'll just
I'd
move
like
it down.
I'd like to add it at the end, and if we don't.
Okay.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that you would just like for us as a committee to discuss these goals. If not tonight, then perhaps at our next meeting.
Yes.
I'd like us to establish some goals, yeah, so we know what to prioritize, because so many things come at us, and if we just take them as they come, it seems like we don't move forward. So last year we took a solid step with the budget calendar. This year, what's our solid step going to be?
And that would be part of it. I think do we have it on there? Yeah, probably the budget. It needs to be there. Yeah, the sort of in the, there's number 3, generating an 18-month plan and cycle. I think that's part of the budget calendar.
I'm chair.
Yes, please.
Yeah, maybe in the interim period, we could ask people to take the items that we have, the 9 on the list, and give them a priority ranking so that we can come back together. We'll have a sense of the priorities.
Okay. And also, we have that, and I guess we can send out, and I need to respond again on the priorities for the PNB. Pull the finance ones off there and send it to everyone here on the committee. And I think I need to update, because I didn't go in and really change some of the things that were on there. And you can see that. So make sure that list of priorities is the list that we want to see as a committee.
Oh, I work with you getting a template so that it'll make it easy for people to rank.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So we'll put that down as number 5 if we can get to it. In the meantime, as Lonnie said, if you could look at it and then you can actually rank in terms of what you think the priorities are. Okay. Are there other?
Can you read from the beginning?
What's that?
These amendments to the agenda. Can you read them in? Because I'm just looking at it. Looking at the agenda.
Okay, here we go.
I'm kind of confused and following everybody's suggestions.
Okay. I'm sorry. Although I asked Terry to take the roll call, I did not ask Terry if he could act as a secretary today.
Okay.
So,
I'm doing it, but I also need a review of the agenda.
Okay. Well, I can start with what I have, and then we can go from there. For number 3, when we discuss the next meeting, the 3B would be the elections for the committee. And then as we get the CFO report and on the income statement and balance sheet, we want Lonnie to discuss or just to highlight legal expenses. On 4B, review legal expense forecast, we want to move that to an executive session for our next NFC meeting. And from there, I think it basically the reviewer status of motions have not really changed. We wanted to add 5 on C5 would be the RFP process. And then for new business, we wanted to add the financial reports during the annual audit. This is a K request. We want to look at a really that's not really new business, but the other thing we wanted to add to the agenda were a couple of things to review, look at the reimbursement policy, look at the whole internet project and cost, and also just review briefly the credit card policy.
Okay, please go over those new business items
Okay. Well,
Chair?
Yes,
Chair, you suggested that a couple of those items be folded into the CFO report because he's just going to touch on them.
Right. Okay.
I thought
so
the only formal, in terms of those proposals, the agenda adjustments were Terry's request and then the request to do a section on goal setting.
Okay, so the reimbursement policy, the internet project, credit card policy would be part of, you could put that down into like number 4A4. Number on the CFO report?
Yeah.
Well, under risk and opportunities, we'll have number 4.
Which is?
In the interest of shortening the agenda, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry? was that Lonnie?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to interrupt you. Do we have everything? Then I had one other suggestion.
Wait a minute. Let's make sure we have it.
Yeah.
Terry, do we have that?
Reimbursements, credit card.
And the internet project.
RFP.
Internet project and RFC.
I think the RFP would actually, because we'd actually looked at some language on that, but.
And I have no objection to the finance reports during audit item happening after 2007 committee priority.
Okay.
Brian here. I'd still like to add something.
Sure. Brian.
Investment policy.
Also, I think investment policy and working committees, because that would be one of our, I think we need to look at assigning individuals to working committees, the investment policy, and which I think is also on our list of goals there.
Is that like work groups for this committee?
Yeah, that would be a work group, I think.
Or subcommittee?
I actually don't want an investment policy drafted by a working group. I'd like it drafted by a financial professional in collaboration with national staff and then brought to us for review.
Okay, well, that's...
So
we can discuss. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate your sentiment on working committees, but that's separate from what I'm asking for.
Okay, well,
I have it separate.
Okay, my idea is that exactly what you're saying, we need to discuss it with the CFO and a couple other people in terms of the direction that we will need to go to. So your position in terms of what we need to do is valid, and I think that we just need to get others' position in terms of how we need to go, how we need to move forward. And so it does need to be discussed.
This is Thomas. Can I say
sure.
a couple of things?
Okay.
First of all,
quick thing. Okay, so we have down to you want investment policy, as I think that was part of the goals, but either we can add that to the goals also. And okay, so what's next, Thomas?
And two questions.
Sure.
If I'm not at the meeting in Houston, didn't the board refer a couple of questions to the Finance Committee, including problems with the subchannel agreement lease in New York? Wasn't there some finance issue that they referred to the committee?
As far as...
I don't remember, but I remember Berto and I talking about it, and if I'm not mistaken, he asked whether I was interested in working on that, but it seemed to me this was where this company that's leasing a subchannel... subchannel and is behind but made an offer of some sort, and it was... Some aspect of it was sent to the committee, if I'm not mistaken, for review back to the board.
Okay, why don't we just put that down as something we need to discuss, and then we can get to that. And so
okay,
we can just run through
Chair.
The agenda.
Where
okay,
are we
then,
here, Dave?
Then the second question.
Okay,
the second question. The second question that I have is, don't we have too much on this agenda? I mean,
that's what I'm trying to do, right?
We can't possibly get through all of this. And,
right.
I mean, couldn't I? I guess y'all are thinking about a 5 or 6 hour meeting or something, right?
Exactly.
On the telephone, I mean, can't we simplify
just
this? Like, take 2 or 3 things and put the other stuff off to a week or so? I mean,
that's what we're saying.
Can't do this on the telephone.
Right, that's what we're saying in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, then that's what someone had suggested, a meeting in the next 2 weeks. So we need to move forward with this. Okay, Dave, was there
yeah.
another?
Thomas
is
right. I'm going through the minutes from the PMB meeting, so maybe we can just I will call all the referrals to the Finance Committee. We were supposed to have a joint meeting with the Finance and Audit Committee within 120 days. So I'll get those together, and if we can have a section that's just items referred by the PMB, I'll have them ready by the time we get there.
Okay. So we'll just make that number 10. So are we ready to? Oh, so do we? Okay, let's just move on what we have now, because then we're going to spend like another 10 minutes discussing what we need to move forward. So why don't we like drop them on there, the things we do not get to within our allotted time, which I usually say an hour and a half, then that will move to the next meeting.
Yes, Angie, I was going to propose a meeting at 2 weeks, so we would have time even, you know, before the March 15th date, so we would have 2 meetings probably in that time period.
That's if we.
I move to approve
the
agenda as
thank
modified.
You. Thank you. Okay. The agenda has been approved and second, so let's move forward. okay, so I think we did have minutes, but I didn't attach them here. Terry had sent out the minutes. Did everyone have an opportunity to look at the minutes?
Terry mentioned he put them up on the Yahoo Groups file site. I don't know how to access that. Could you walk us through that, Terry?
Can you just send that out to us?
Send it out again, yeah.
Okay, that would be great.
My email.
Great. Thanks. Okay. And so then why don't we just move the approval of minutes to the next meeting? I'd like to entertain that. Okay.
You want to move what?
The approval of minutes to the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I see. You sent them as attachments, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you should have it.
Yeah, you're right.
So I don't need to send it.
It was sent January 18th from Terry.
Right. Okay. So does everyone has them? Have you had an opportunity to look at them? Or shall we entertain a motion to approve the minutes or move the approval to the next meeting?
I'll move to approve them this meeting and let someone
you.
Who hasn't read them move to postpone.
Okay. Right. I have a motion to approve the minutes. Is there, do we need a second? The moved. The minutes have been approved for January the 18th. Thank you, Terry, very much. So the next meeting I had scheduled for the 15th of March. However, we've also entertained to have a meeting in 2 weeks from today, and today is the 15th. So that's like. It would be like March 1st or so. So you had requested another meeting in 2 weeks. So what are the dates that you would suggest?
Thinking like March 1st, it would be a Thursday, 2 weeks from today.
And, is there any objection to the March 1st meeting? Is that in line?
No objection.
Okay, then, fine. So we have a schedule. Let me go into KPSX-TX and schedule a meeting. So the question is, shall we have a meeting 2 weeks later on the 15th, or shall we move it a week later? Because I think that date was based on a possible PNB meeting in March. So have a meeting on the 22nd instead of the 15th. Okay, well, just check the date.
Here.
Trying to check the date on KPFX-TX. And for all who are, that's where we actually schedule the meetings is on KPFS6TX. Okay, the 22nd is open now, so we can do, we have the 1st and the 22nd, so we'll schedule those meetings now. If I can find out, I don't have my key right here on my desk, so I can't do it at this moment. I'll just do it after the meeting is over. Okay, so we have a meeting scheduled for Thursday, March the 1st. And also, we had a meeting scheduled for the 15th. We'd like to move it to the 22nd. Okay. Are there any objections?
So we have March 1st, 15th, and 22nd?
March the 1st and the 20th, not the 15th. We'll move the 15th and make it the 22nd at 8
okay.
p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. There are no objections? Okay, then that's approved.
No objection.
Thank you. Okay, so the next on the agenda is the CFO report with all of the...
Point of order?
Yes,
fine. I think we inserted committee officer elections at this point.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is next, 3B. Okay. The next is the election of officers for the committee, and the process that we've done in the past is that basically what we would do is we would entertain nominations for chair and for secretary, and after we entertain the nominations, and then what the committee would do is to actually send in a ballot to a designated person. I guess in this case it could be the secretary of the foundation, and within a scheduled time period, and after the ballots are received by the secretary, then we would announce the person who is so chosen to be the chair, the persons who are chosen to be the chair and the secretary. So, and that's really the election process. So at this point, we can just move into the process and entertain nominations or whatever the committee would like to do at this time. Okay.
I'd like to move nominations for be open for chair.
Okay, and then we would do secretary. Okay, so at this time, would like to entertain nominations to be for chair of the Finance Committee.
I nominate LaVon. Would you accept the nomination?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Dave?
Okay. Dave, please.
I'd like to nominate Bertolt.
Okay.
No, I don't accept.
Okay. Are there other nominations?
Anybody else who wants to serve?
I'll nominate Dave. Take that.
The board. I can't.
I would like to nominate Brian.
I'm a treasurer. I can't. Only directors can serve as chair.
Is that true?
No, I don't think you're right.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it's under the section of the bylaws that define the National Finance Committee.
Right. Okay. One of the directors, I guess.
You went on us.
Okay. Are there other nominations? Okay. So the nomination for chair would be LaVarne Williams. So the process is still the same. We would send in, mail in our choice to be the chair. And then now I guess we can accept nominations to be secretary.
I would like to nominate Terry.
Okay. And are there other nominations?
Was there one before me?
I'm sorry?
I heard someone speak before I heard my name. Was there another nominee?
So
I think Fetchel may have tried to nominate me, but I did not accept.
Okay.
Okay. Are there other nominations first for secretary? Okay, so it appears the nominations for chair would be LaVarne Williams, for secretary is Terry Goodman, and again, the process is the same. We'll have to determine. David, let me just ask you a question. perhaps we should have send the nominations to Mary Berg as
in
secretary
past,
of the foundation.
In the past, we've done it to the secretary pro tem of the committee.
Okay.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Sure. Right.
If nominations are closed, can't we declare those two people elected by acclamation as there's no one running against them?
We can, but also we still, I believe, we have to actually send in our little, to be on record. I believe that's what the bylaws are.
And further, we are not actually closing nominations. People can still write in candidates, so the idea being that people who aren't here might choose to nominate someone or self-nominate.
Okay, so we would send in the nominee. So what I would need to do is I'd get Mary's address and send to everyone on the committee where they need to send it, and within the time period. So we should say within a week to get the nominations, nominations in or the choices in to Mary, and then we should have the results then within 2 weeks if we choose to move forward on this. Okay, so I'll send it out tomorrow to ask that the ballots be mailed to Mary Berg, and then we should have the results within 2 weeks. Okay, very good. Thank you for putting that on the agenda so we can move forward. So the next item on the agenda is the CFO report. Lonnie, are you prepared to start?
Yes, I will start.
Okay.
Well, let me start with the CFO report that you have received. It's easier that way because a lot of summaries of the financials are in that report, and it's easy to go through it. Actually, I don't have a lot new to say in my report. We're the first quarter, and I'll go into some detail for the benefit of those people that are new to the Finance Committee. At the end of this particular period, what we're doing is looking, in this case, both at November and December financials. And I usually have a CFO report also that accompanies those financials, which is basically summarizing the financials for folks who don't necessarily often have time to wade through all that detail. And also I highlight particular things that seem important and I want to bring to the attention of the Finance Committee and the Board. So I'm working from the document, the CFO January report on December financials. And I'll just go through it quickly and not read to you what's already there. It starts out with usually a comparison of the current month, in this case December, with the prior month, in that case November, and show the changes in terms of the summary. It shows all our units, national office, the station, PRA, and then compares the results for December to those for November. Now, what is often a little bit confusing is what I do in these reports is I give the summary, but it's a projected summary. I project financial results to September 30th, to the end of the fiscal. The current month information is in the income statement document itself. The quarterly summary and the quarterly data is in the income statement document itself. What I'm doing in the CFO report is projecting expenses after having talked to general managers, business managers, board members, so I can give the board some kind of sense of where expenses may end up on the fiscal in time for people who are at the station level and board members to act to remedy those situations. So I don't just report out on what the results are for a given month or quarter. I also project. So what you see there where it says summary projected, that means projected to September 30th, the end of our fiscal 2007. And that way we can see where units may be on a pace to overspend and where units are on pace. So that's a little bit different. So in November, we see that the negative variance was we have a budget of 1.1, and in November, we look like we would produce $840,000, a negative variance of $288,000. In December, that negative variance rose $60,000, $65,000 to
355,000. I go to some of the stations and indicate what were the drivers in the variance from November to December. I also make the point that that variance of 355,000. You know, at Pacifica, we have gotten gifts $300,000 or $400,000. So it's the first quarter, and we'll have another closer look in the next few months to see whether or not that's serious for us, or whether we'll get remedied in the course of doing business in the next several months. So second quarter is more indicative of difficulties that we're still looking at that kind of variance. I move on in this report to analyzation of revenue. And I point out that, as most of us know that attend these finance committee meetings, we struggle with revenue. Listener support / donation revenue is down. And in this case, we have a budget of $13.7 million, and the December results show we will get close to $12.3 million in listener support, a variance of $1.3 million. What we do is we increase our efforts on the donation side, and it usually offsets to some degree. In this case, donations would be at $968,000 on projection. Now, so that the December forecast says that we would have a negative variance of $346,000. On the expense side, I usually do an expense analysis showing mostly I stick with salaries, although the full expense detail is in the income statement document itself. Here I usually track salaries. I think salaries are one of the largest expenses we have, along with health care and benefits, and so I generally highlight that detail for finance and board people to look at. And it shows that we will be more or less on track with a variance of only about $46,000 on the negative side. Then there's a bottom line, which shows that not only what our bottom line looks like on projection, that we would be off on the revenue side by $414,000 and expenses up against budget by $481,000. And it does give you prior year revenue and expense totals too for comparison purposes, 04, 05, 06, and then the comparison to projected 07. I finish by giving a summary of the Arbitron. And what it shows is these are Arbitrons for 1990 through 2006. So this is a long history indeed of the network's Arbitron rating from year 1990 to the year 2006. It's very much up to date. I finished this about 2 weeks ago. I do it for the network as a whole, and I also do it for each station. And what this shows is that in 2003, the beginning of the Iraqi war, a pattern with Pacifica when there are large national events, our listenership went up to 953,000. This is an average for each quarter of that year. So what you're looking at, not a quarter, but an average for an entire year. And in 2004, it moved from 953 to 940. And if you look back at the financials, you'll see that those were very good years for Pacifica, having close to 1 million listeners. It makes a real difference for us. And we were growing 10-15% a year during that period, driven by the Iraqi war, which you recall started in March of 2003. But by the time you get to 2005, listenership's down to 829,000. And 2006 just completed, latest Arbitron show us at 768,000. And that's below trend line. We're all aware that it's happening in radio as a whole. It's happening in commercial and non-commercial radio. And we and board members have discussed many, many initiatives in terms of looking at how to deal with it. And we will, again, in looking at goals for the Finance Committee obviously touched on some initiatives that may help us in that regard. That is to say, not only to attract new listeners, but to retain them as well. If we're looking at 1 million listeners, then the number of ballots, that is people who became members, was about 87,000 in our last election. So somewhere between 87 and 100,000 people to become members of Pacifica against a listening audience of, and at its peak, 1 million. We obviously want to retain or increase the number of people
who become members. There are 9 people who listen and don't become members. And so there are lots of ways to look at that issue. But it is a market issue, not just a Pacific issue. And I end up this report by talking about some of the ideas that are that various people have brought up that are a way of addressing essentially the listenership slope line, which is going down. And as you can see from the numbers, that where listenership has gone down, we've compensated by going after donors and donations and doing mail campaigns and doing other things to compensate for that drop in membership. So what's the prognosis for us? We're at the first quarter, and a negative variance of 300,000 is not time to push the panic button. And so it really is a situation where you can't really say we're in deep trouble because, as I say, a $300,000 or $400,000 gift can make all the difference, and we're back on budget, on target. And we had 3 or 4 such gifts last year, so it's not out of the question that it could happen.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, I was saying it's not out of the question that a gift could come in for $300,000 or $400,000 and we'd be back on budget target. So I don't really have any big pronouncements other than to say, seems to me that a major issue, as most public non-commercial radio stations, is declining listenership. And that is something we're all very well aware of and people are working on. So that would be my report.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that $400,000 number, and if I look down in the rest of the document, half of that, $215,000, is coming from the national office. And when we made this budget, one of the things that I expressed concern about was the ability to scale up the income from mail drops in the way we were proposing. And remember that some of that money is supposed to go to a couple of our stations, to T and to WBAI. So what is the reason for the 215 shortfall so far? Question of performance on mail drops. And if it is, is it possible that we may get similar shortfalls through the rest of the year so that number could balloon? And if it does, where is that money coming out of?
I think that part of that number is the result of stations and the first mail drive missed target. That's part of it, about 150,000. The other part of it is I scaled down my forecast to the point where I said, well, if we don't have any real indication of a gift, I'm not going to create a hypothetical gift. I'll do a wait and see. If a gift comes in to the national office for $300,000 as it did last year, I think we had $650,000 in major gifts. If a gift comes in, then I'll put that in the forecast, and that the mail drop forecast will be fine. But luckily, the drives have gone well here. The second drive, the 3 stations that have done their drives have gone well. People have met goal in terms of the fund drives that I'm aware. A has done well, exceeded goal. I has come very close to goal, short only about $10,000, $11,000. K is starting auspiciously. T met goal. So I think that too early to come to any firm conclusions on how we'll do financially. Just the first quarter.
Can I follow
up? So it could be far worse. We could have had some bad drives, and we have not so far in this second on-air drive that we've done. So I'll wait and see.
Were you through, Lonnie?
Yes, I said
Dave,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, so I just want to go back, though. The question is, are the mail drops performing as expected, or is it are they short? And if they're short, in the future amount reported, your projection for the rest of the year, are you using an assumption of the original expected performance, or are you scaling that down proportional to the shortfall to date in that area?
Well, right now they have performed according to budget, right? We've got one mail drop so far this year, projected about 300,000 for a mail drop. First mail drop has performed. It's at 257, and some of it came in last fiscal, so it may look a little low, but actually it did not. It actually met goal. Then you got two more mail drops of 300, where we'll, I'm assuming, about 300, 325,000. So we'll be at 900,000. And the I think the budget was 1.3. If you look at last year, you'll see part of that mail drop actually came in before the end of the fiscal. How much? 168,000. So at this point, I think that the margin for error is about 250,000. And as I say, it could be a gift that comes in that'll cover it, or if it's not the mail or an extra mail drop, I would put somewhere in the late summer. So we did a holiday mail drop, which also did better than expected, 50,000, 60,000. So we do have options if we see the trend is such that the mail drops are not performing. But so far, they have. You can see the numbers. I think we are $50,000-$60,000 above what we projected for the first mail drop. We broke even, and we're making money on that drop right now. And another is coming out in March, certainly April, or around our 57th or 58th anniversary. And then we're looking at the possibility of a summer mail drop, and then again one in September if we need to. So we have three more opportunities to see the extent to which the mail drops can help us and other stations.
So, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. This is Bertel. So we are actually depending. I mean, I have a little problem here with too many variables. It seems to me that we're depending on the mail drop to fill in some gaps on our budget, and then on top of that, we're depending on major donor. I would like to think of major donors definitely as extraordinary items, and then our budget to be totally independent of the major donors, so that we can know what we can do, and the major donors would be a plus. And for the mail drop, I haven't been part of this committee, so I don't know how that works. But the mail drop should not be used as a substitute to support the shortfall of the stations or the network if we do not meet our fundraising goals in raising listener support fund. And these two things make me feel kind of uneasy here.
Well, question of how the mail drops function. The mail drops function, and this is not just the national office, this is the stations as well. They are a way that Pacifica does public relations, that if you send a mail drop for $500,000 or $100,000, you are making people aware that Pacifica exists, that station exists.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a way of doing valuable PR.
Mm-hmm.
The results of the mail drops are such that we do have some baseline figures about what mail drops will do against lists that we've built up over the last 3 or 4 years. Just as stations have lists and can calculate what an average mail drop or even a drive will produce. The same thing with mail drops. You have a list. You have a mailing list you develop, and you mail to those people once a year. And so they end up being supporters. Our mail drops on the national side have been aimed at producing revenue to support national programming. As you probably will know.
You said support or develop the national program.
Well, developing national programs, the way we pay for hearings and specials and Spanish language programming, now Free Speech Radio News, that's how we have to pay for those programs. They don't come from, as you know, the station's budget. So what we've done is we've said that there is a market nationally for folks out there, members of progressive organizations and members of some of our station areas, and want to see national programming. and want to support it. Democracy Now! Has an enormous group of supporters there in college towns and members of other progressive organizations. So we think that it's not as risky as it might seem, because we've been doing it for 4 years, and we get the feedback, and people want to see more national programming, want to see more specials, want to see news, public affairs. And they have responded by writing checks. And we now see sort of what our base is, what we think is the baseline sort of support we get. Now, we can always overdo it. We can say, can always push and go beyond our means. But so far, we've exceeded expectations. Maybe this will be our year. And so always nervous. It's true, it's always nervous. But that doesn't mean we'll do it every year. What we're needing to do this year is what I think of as bridge funding. That is to say, do the mail drops for this year, while at the same time, and we are doing it, looking at a more self-sustaining source of the revenue. And as you can see, there are two or three ideas around about how to move us in those directions. So it's not meant to be permanent.
Are you finished?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is Thomas. I just wanted to say I'm not sure that maybe I was wrong, but I didn't get it that Berthold was saying that absolutely we shouldn't solicit money by the mail. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I thought he was more or less saying that seemed to be that comparing the success of the money we collected by mail. And saying that supplemented the income from the drives that we had at the different stations, and the help when they were short, didn't give us an accurate determination of how successful the fundraisers were at the station, the periodic fundraisers were. And for me, I'm kind of concerned because you started out talking about the Arbitron, and you gave some information about it, and I had the impression that you were saying that our audience support was a fundamental factor in how much success we would have in raising money. And then you started talking about how we would get money by raising money through the mail. So that was kind of confusing for me. But so that was confusing for me. But you also said that since about 2002, not only have Pacifica stations been in some decline since 9-1-1, but that this you kind of implied that that was industry wide. Where did you get that information from?
Well, remember that website RRC? Remember we were on that, Thomas?
Right.
Yeah, there are lots of reports there that document what's going on at all of the member-supported stations and non-commercial stations. It's an industry-wide phenomenon. NPR is impacted. Commercial radio is impacted. People are not listening to radio as much as they have in the past. Now, in answer to that, and we're seeing the downward trend, in answer to your question about, well, what is explaining the increase in revenue in the face of declining listenership? One thing I mentioned was, of course, increased donations, and that's why I went to the mail drop explanation. But stations are also doing other things. What's happening at Pacifica is stations are compensating for declines in listenership by extending their drives. Used to be we did no more than 2-week drives. Sometimes didn't have to do a summer drive at all. The stations are moving to 14, 15, 16, 17 days and doing summer drives. That's how they've compensated for reduced revenue, longer drives. Premiums. Stations have found that premiums are very important to certain kinds of listeners, and they have looked at, novel and new ways to attract donations via premiums. Amy Goodman, for example, is offering a $1,000 donation lunch with Amy in New York, and that has worked for several stations where she's offered that. So premium-driven drives are becoming increasingly a part, novel and interesting premiums. The other thing that they're doing is they're doing their own mail drops. Stations increasingly are doing mail drops. And, I might add, looking to the web to increase online donations. For example, KPFA, $70,000 on the web. KPFK, is using the internet to raise money in a way they haven't done so in the past. So patients are compensating by trying other ways to raise money and to round out the overall loss of membership. And the last thing I'll mention is that it's clear that while our listenership is down, the average donation is up. But we're asking our loyal people, the supporters of Pacifica, are in fact digging deeper and deeper into their pockets to support the station. So the average gift from the average person is going up. So even though we have less listeners for some of the stations, they in fact are donating more. Of course, there's a limit to how far you can go with that. So that's the fact that I think that accounts for a phenomenon where listenership is down. Yet we made revenue at relatively flat, at flat level.
Lonnie?
Madam Chair?
Oh. Berto. And who was
okay.
Who's next?
Oh, yeah, kind of to piggyback off what Thomas Lawson said, I think, well, since we're bringing up, like, management and all that into this whole fund finance issues, the idea is, you know, we are really looking at how bad we're doing as far as listener sponsors. And since this was always one of the main source of our revenue, I would not want to depend on mail drop or any other extracurricular activities to, you know, to just kind of fill in the gap. I mean, I would want to have those additional items to help with the budget or something like that, or to help with the cash flow. But the idea is that by plugging in all these numbers, you know, since you guys mentioning all these management issues with the finance, we have no idea why our listenership is down. And I don't want to just accept automatically it's because it's through the radio network and so forth and so on. These are all speculations. So to be off topic is we have to look at why people are not listening to radio stations. I listen to radio stations, and I listen to other radio stations besides our own radio station more than I listen to our radio station because I look for things that I'm looking for. So, you know, there are two issues there. One of the issues is, can you count on that money on a regular basis? And I like what you said, Lonnie, earlier as far as the national mail drops are used for special programs to advertise the network and to support national programming, you know, strong national programming. But the local mail drop, you know, maybe should be part of you know, expected money for local budget. But I think we should be very, very conservative on those and look very strongly at the listener support. That, I mean, that is the gist of it. You know, I mean, as far as the whole way you process with the mail drop, I don't know the details, but I have no problem with that. I think that's a good thing, as long as it doesn't cannibalize the support of the listeners to fundraising.
Brian here.
Here, can I respond? Or add on to that, please.
Why don't we go ahead? Brian, do you want to allow Dave to go forward?
I was just hoping to move the agenda. I mean, we have a lot to get to, and we're kind of getting outside the scope of the report with the back and forth here.
Okay.
I mean, we're having debate without a motion to vote on. I don't know if it's being productive.
All right. Thank you. Dave?
Yeah, sort of in that vein. Whatever we think of it, the budget that was approved called for the national office to raise $1.9 million this year as against $0.9 million last year. New members should be aware of that. They should also be aware that the budget that was passed called for $300,000 of that money to go to KPFT and WBAI in part as a result of joint mail drop operations. So my questions were directed at finding out the performance of that, because whatever you think about whether we should have it or not, that's what our budget is. And the question is, if we don't make that nut, where is it coming out? Because we didn't have very much flexibility in that budget. So what Lonnie's saying is, as of right now, he's not concerned that we're going to have to, you know, cut to the bone. But I do think we have to keep an eye on it, and as valuable as those things are, there's diminishing returns. So one of the motions, I'm not going to make it as a motion, but I'll just say to Lonnie, I would like to be able to see some sort of numbers that help us track your estimates in this area so that we can get a sense of whether or not we're going to come in on time with this.